Damn!
Break yourself, fool!
Ha ha!
Yeah, recognize. Give me my money back. Oh, bird. Candy bird. Hey, Miss Ladybird. Hey, I'm talking to you. How much for this candy bar?
$5.
What? Better give me some sucky-sucky with that $5. Some love me long time or something.
You don't like? You don't buy.
Hey, look here. Just charge us for the chips and the ice cream, all right? Shoot. Hey, let's raise up out of here before I look up on these people. Hey, quit looking at damn ice cream like that before I put you on the corner to make me some money.
I feel sorry for your mother.
What you say about my mama?
I don't want to have trouble. Just go. Go home. Don't come back.
What you say about my mama? Break yourself!
No!
You break your butt! Stop that! Fight that!
Don't look! What are you doing, man? Come on!
Let me come on in here right quick, another quick show, man. You know what? I've decided against probably making this a quick show. It's probably going to be about an hour. Because I got a feeling I'm going to have to make a call. I'm going to have to call somebody to aid me on this sojourn into the motherfucking, the abyss of niggatry. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to put up my bat signal, man. I'm going to have some help on this one. So, yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do. So this show is probably going to be an hour, man. And I'm going to go ahead and hit y'all with my little pet peeve, man. Pet peeve of the week, because, like I said, I've been away for a while. So I missed a lot of current events. And one of the main current events that I missed really rapping about when it happened was the Ferguson, Missouri Nigga Fest. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go ahead and hit y'all with that, because it's basically talking about, or it's exemplifying something that really irritates the shit out of me, man, with Negroes in general, is they just don't have no sense. And once again, we'll be talking about, and you probably know what I'm going to say, about niggas basically busting up and looting and burning down their own shit. All right, I've heard many arguments for and against this shit. How in this day and age you niggas still think that's a good idea is astounding. You know what I mean? Because I'm the kind of person where I sit back and I look at trends and cycles. Trends and cycles. You know what I mean? I do that shit, man. I'm like, well, if this is a good thing, Okay, it must be advantageous to us in some way. Well, you know, materially something must manifest to basically show that this is true. Something must happen in the material realm to manifest that this is true. Because most of y'all niggas are saying, yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, burn down your own shit. Yeah, fuck up your own shit. Yeah, do it. Yeah, that'll show them. Okay, well, let's see what kind of fruits that bears, okay? Yeah, we've seen a lot of riots going through history, you know what I mean, as far as pertaining to black folks in the United States. And I'm waiting on those fruits to manifest, man. I'm not really seeing the benefits. Where do you get the benefits? What are the benefits of burning down and fucking up your own shit? Somebody give me a track record, you know what I mean? Somebody show me where you went out and burnt down and fucked up your own shit, and somehow, some way, you came out on top. I'm waiting on that shit. Then we got niggas that try and get real cerebral on your ass and say, well, technically, it's not really your shit you burning down. The Arabs and the white folks and the Koreans, that's really technically not your neighborhood. Like, what the fuck? Okay. Is it within the circumference? Is it within the cipher of where you living? Yeah, no doubt it is. All right. Are you spending money with these motherfuckers? Yes, you are. Okay. So when you're spending money with them, and keep in mind also, more likely, some of these motherfuckers is also employing you. You know what I mean? And also keep in mind that you are getting goods and services from these people, right? That you normally wouldn't be able to get unless you went out of town or went to the next county. You know what I mean? So basically, this is the argument, right? They say, well, you know, technically you ain't keeping the money in the hood by going ahead and paying them. Now I'm saying, you know, when you go ahead and pay the Koreans and the white boys and them Arabs, you know what I'm saying, man? You ain't keeping money in the hood, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? My question is this, all right? Once you burn down that shit and you fuck that shit up, where you gonna go ahead and... I've heard this argument, all right? They say it's cool to burn down and fuck up that shit, even though these people ain't had jack shit to do with whatever mishap or crime happened to some stupid-ass nigga, you know, for fucking with the cops and shit, you know what I'm saying? So even though they ain't had shit to do with the bullshit, you niggas is co-signing going ahead and just committing all kinds of larceny and felonious shit on somebody who ain't had nothing to do with it. Okay? For real. And then niggas say, well, you know, it's cool to burn that shit down and fuck that shit up. You know what I mean? A lot of niggas, they ain't got the intestinal fortitude to go ahead and burn down that shit and fuck that shit up and just go without. Or they say, you know, they could just go ahead and go to the next county and spend their money. I'm like, that still doesn't make any goddamn sense. I'm like, so you telling me you're protesting the murder of some nigga, right? You honoring his death by going ahead, burning down, and consequently, of course, a lot of the shit that you niggas destroy and fuck up. You know, there's some black-owned shit that y'all fucking up. Also, you know, in the midst of so-called getting justice for some random nigga. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's another story. So basically, you niggas is going around fucking up shit in the name of some random nigga. Of course, most of y'all don't really give a fuck about this nigga. You just want to go ahead and loot some shit, get some free shit. You know what I mean? That's the main thing that's going on with niggas, free shit. That's why Obama's so popular, because y'all niggas getting free shit. Once again, another story. I'm going to get off that soapbox. All right. But then niggas say, yeah, you go ahead and burn down that shit, fuck up that shit. Yeah, go ahead, fuck it. You know, you might inconvenience yourself by having to go to the next county, you know what I'm saying, to spend your money. But fuck it, we going to spend, motherfucker. We going to show you niggas that we serious. You know, we revolutionaries up in this motherfucker. Yeah. So let me get this straight. You going to protest the killing of a random nigga by committing arson, felonious assault, robbery, burglary, right? On someone who ain't had shit to do with it. Then once that happens, they say, okay, well, now we're going to have to go ahead and spend our money in a neighboring county, neighboring town. You know what I mean? And, where in the hell did... Well, this is what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what purpose does that serve? Like, what did you accomplish by doing that shit? I guess the original point you was trying to make is we're not going to patronize, or we're not going to spend money with nobody that's not black. And if you are black, or if, excuse me, if you're not black and if you're in our hood, you know what I mean? We're going to burn your shit down. We're not spending no more money with you. We're going to fuck up your business. We're going to fuck up your life. We're going to fuck up your livelihood. And so then I hear niggas talking about, well, fuck it. We'll just go to the next county or the next town and spend our goddamn money. More likely those establishments you spending your money on outside of your county or outside of your town going to be owned by white folks, Arabs, Koreans. So what the fuck did you accomplish? Bottom line, you just want to loot shit, man. That's all you niggas want to do. You just want an excuse to be niggas. That's all it is. What else could it be? I'm still trying to figure out, can anybody show me the benefits of fucking up your own shit? Fuck up your own neighborhood, place where you spend your money, place where people employ you. You know, because that's a big gripe. People are always saying, well, you know, ain't no motherfucking jobs in the hood. They don't want to send no jobs to the hood. They don't want to build no businesses in the hood. Well, hello? Do you think? Who would want to build they shit next to a whole bunch of emotional ass niggas, man, for real? Who in their right mind is going to take a business that they've taken and built from the ground up with their blood, sweat, and tears and all sorts of sacrifice, and put it in the middle of a hood where it could be taken away at any time, any day, as soon as you niggas throw a tantrum, right? Once again, I could see if, you know, somehow this would benefit you. You know what I mean? But I'm still waiting on to see the benefits of doing a riot. I don't know. Well, a good one is, well, you know, we're going to riot because we're going to bring attention to this shit. We're going to bring attention. We're going to let the world see what the fuck going on down here. Nigga, for real? Is that the benefit? Okay, you going to bring attention to what? For what? And then you bring attention to it? I mean, God damn. You can bring attention to it all you want. You still ain't solving the underlying problem, motherfucker. And the underlying problem is you niggas are not active in politics. You're not active in economics. You get two fucks about educations. You know what I mean? You know, you talk all this shit about the white man and how white folks ain't shit and white folks is the devil, but you allow white folks and the white man to educate your goddamn kids. And so when your kids goddamn can't put two and two together, don't know how to tie their shoes, and all they do is idolize little Scrappy and Benzino, like it's like a... Okay? We gonna call attention to this shit. We gonna burn it down. You gonna burn what down? You gonna burn your own shit down. Okay, let's do some common sense, niggas. We gonna do a common sense situation. We gonna do a common sense exercise. Okay. Anything revolutionary as far as the white power structure is concerned, they pretty much don't allow that shit, man. They nips the shit in the bud. You know what I mean? Have you ever thought about why, you know, usually when riots kick off, y'all probably don't notice this, and y'all probably don't really give a fuck because you're too watching Love and Fucking Hip Hop. But for the most part, whenever a riot kicks off, there's usually a stand down order given by the police. They say, fuck it, stand down. While you niggas go around doing all manner of fuck shit to the neighborhood, your own neighborhood, they stand down and they watch you break your own shit. Now, if that was a really revolutionary act, do you think that white folks will sit around and watch you do it? Is it really a revolutionary act, or the act of just some powerless, weak-ass niggas that don't have any other way to respond except throw a fucking tantrum? And here's another litmus test you can goddamn use. Let's just see how revolutionary it is. All right. Take that same zeal, that same lust, you know, that same anger, and step across the line, you know, the line that separates the white county from the black county, and try that shit over in the white county. All right? Listen to me. Now, we're trying to do some common sense thinking here. Take that same anger and that revolutionary zeal that you have for justice and take your ass across the line where the white folks is at and try and burn something down. See what the fuck happened. See what the fuck happened. I bet you're going to get a big, you're going to get a wake-up call, man. You're going to get a wake-up call. But they'll let you do it as long as it's in the black county. All right? See, I was in the military, and of course, I worked in prison, so I know a little bit about paramilitary shit and contingency plans. And, you know, the first thing you always want to do is you want to contain the situation. That's what you want to do. You want to contain it. And whenever this kind of shit jumps off, they contain the situation. And they contain it in a bottle. They put it in a place where, okay, damage, you know, collateral damage, it may not be minimal, but we're going to contain it in such a way that it really doesn't affect the ultimate power structure. Really doesn't affect the people that fucking matter. The darkies fucking up their own shit. You know, send out a stand down order. Let them, you know, let them have at it. Let them blow off some steam. Fuck it. Who cares? You know what I mean? Bottom line saying is, they gives two fucks about you burning down your own shit. So guess what? What does that tell you? That you burning down your own shit is impotent. It's irrelevant. They don't care. So why do you keep doing it? Why do you keep bumping your head against the wall thinking that you're doing something really revolutionary, doing something really slick, when it's obvious it ain't slick? Because y'all been doing it forever and y'all still ain't getting nothing out of it. Nothing. All you getting out of it is you whining and complaining. Now you don't have no jobs. Now you don't have any place to shop. Now you don't, I mean, but nigga, you burned down your shit. How come there ain't no black businesses in here? Ain't nobody come trying to set up nothing in a spot in a goddamn war zone. Shit. Man, what the fuck? Seriously, man. So I'm just saying, yeah, go ahead and try that shit on the white side of town. See how revolutionary it is. Okay? They're going to show you the difference between burning down shit where you live and burning down shit where they live. All right? Do the fact that they let you burn down your shit where you live shows you exactly how important that move is that you're using. It's an irrelevant move. They've went ahead and war gamed this forever throughout the years, throughout the decades. They know what you're going to do. They already know the playbook. The Negroes will get emotional. And we will go ahead and watch them tear up their own shit once they blow off their steam. You know, it'd be business as usual. But don't let them cross this white line. Let them fuck up their shit. But they, it's hands off when it comes to our shit. But yeah, I be hearing these niggas out here in podcasts and saying, but yeah, that's cool though. That's cool, yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying that. What are you getting out of it? No, nigga, that shit is wrong. Whenever you fuck up and burn down some shit, you know, that don't belong to you just because you got sour grapes because what happened to some random nigga? What the hell do Ching Hua, what did he do to the nigga that got blasted? Man, I'm all for justice, nigga. Fuck this dumb shit. I'm all for the justice, man. Fuck. It's got to be just. And I'm not about punishing motherfuckers that don't need to be punished. I'm not about stealing on motherfuckers and taking shit from other people that's innocent in the equation, man. Fuck y'all niggas, man. I ain't on it. Shit. Once again, if you really so high-powered, you really so revolutionary, then you take it to where it needs to be took. You fuck with the people who need to be blamed. Shit. That's what you do, but you won't do it. You want to be on some coward shit. You want to go ahead and you want to rob liquor stores. You want to burn down, what was that? What did they say that them niggas did in Ferguson? Tires and rims. These niggas was robbing the rim store. And in the same breath, talking about, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, go ahead, rob it, take it, burn it down. You know, this is the money that is being accumulated and circulated in your hood, whether you believe it or not. These businesses employ y'all. So basically, yeah, man, whenever this shit pops off, they have a contingency plan, man. They've already war gamed the situation and the scenario. They know y'all niggas is going to pop off and going to fuck up your own shit. But they will contain the eruption within your hood. They will let you do whatever the fuck you want within your shit. They will not let you cross certain lines, you know, with businesses that actually matter. But most of y'all motherfuckers, you know, y'all don't lack the heart or the spirit to go where it needs to really go. Yeah, y'all sitting around talking about this is revolutionary. Nigga, please get the fuck out of here, man. I'm sick of this shit, man. Y'all niggas do this shit all the time, and you don't ever get nothing out of it. And then when it's all said and done, you whining, bitch, because you ain't got no jobs, and you ain't got no money, and you ain't got this, and you ain't got that. Yeah, let's burn down our own shit, man. We can go ahead. We can suffer for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We'll just go to the next county and spend our money. Nigga, well, you still ain't solved the problem. You still spending your money with white folks. You still spending your money with Koreans. You still spending your money with Arabs. So you burning down that shit in your hood that was owned by that white man or that Arab or that Korean, you didn't make no progress. You ain't make no headway. You ain't solve no problem. You just wanted to rob something, nigga. Oh. Whew. Can't take it. Can't take it. Oh, nigga, Fucius, help me. That's what I'm going to do. Fuck that. I need help. To the bat phone. Damn it, nigga, Fucius. Answer the phone.
Hello?
Yeah, man.
Okay, go ahead.
God damn, man. Shit. Interruptions beyond belief. Nigga, Fucius, I require your wisdom.
What's happening, brother?
Oh, man. Check this out, man. I'm sitting over here wrestling with the whole concept of niggatry. I'm trying to understand why niggas feel the need to riot when they don't necessarily get their way, you know what I'm saying, as far as pertaining to the so-called power structure. And I just wanted to know your slant on it, man. I wanted to know what are the pros and cons of burning down your own hood. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that like, I don't know. Do you recommend niggas do that, or do you think it's permissible to do in certain instances? I mean, what do you think, man?
Well, let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Riots are one thing. Rebellion is something else.
Okay.
When there's a disturbance and people are upset about something, something is wrong.
Right.
And usually if you fix that problem, people stop, you know, whatever. That quenches or that satiates their anger or desire for aggressive action. Usually it's a problem.
All right.
Let's start at the beginning. Now I want to make a very clear distinction.
Okay.
Let's go back to the, we'll start at the slave codes of 1666.
All right.
A man by the name of Dr. Claude Anderson talks about this. The slave codes of 1666 pretty much says that black people are people of color, or Negroes or niggas, or however they refer to us, are to be for the comfort and convenience of white people.
Okay.
That clearly spells out that they want a system of a type of racial feudalism where black people are always on the bottom.
All right.
Now, that's not based upon necessarily any hatred. That's them wanting an advantage.
Right.
So they cook up everything to justify them having that advantage, even though the opposite is true, that there's no such thing as anybody being a permanent underclass. There's no such thing as inferiority, but this is what they want to get a permanent advantage.
Right.
Now, let's speed up to slavery in the Western Hemisphere, specifically United States. Now, they bring us here on ships, transatlantic slave trading. We know that.
Right.
And they create this here system where Africans, people of African descent, are now a permanent property class or a permanent class of property for the dominant society.
Okay.
So what happens is, of course, the institution is cruel. And when the slaves revolt, they're living on the plantation. But the master is on the plantation.
Right.
The slaves, they have slave quarters, but the master's quarters is near the slave plantation.
Okay.
So when Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, and the other insurrectionists rebel, and they burn down the property, they're burning down the master's property, but the master is on the property.
Okay.
They can get at the master.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? They can strike at the master because the master's economic base is slavery, is the crops. The crops.
Okay.
That comes from their labor. They can affect the political consequence and an economic consequence, which is more important, and a physical consequence. Not only can they kill the master, but they can burn his property. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And reduce him to a state of poverty.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the key point is the master is there.
Mm-hmm.
The master is there.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's keep going. Every slave rebellion, the slaves struck at the master. That's very important to remember. I can't stress that enough.
All right.
They struck at the master.
Okay.
Now, as we go forward and we look at the riots of the 20th century, we see that the master is no longer all in the area where the so-called property class is living.
Okay.
The master lives elsewhere. The master created something called a suburb.
Mm.
But he left the slaves in something called the ghetto.
Right.
Which is his total creation. Today we call it the hood.
Right.
The master moved out of the vicinity, but he kept control of the economic institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
In these economic institutions, he gave so-called slaves, he gave Africans, who at this stage have been reduced to the level of niggas.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the gods, the niggas. No, I'm talking about the niggas. The wretched.
No
niggas.
Doubt. Right, right.
He gave them the worst education, the worst food, the worst clothing, and the worst housing. Same condition as in slavery, but he's not present.
Okay.
So when he creates these institutions that heighten this economic inequality, that freezes them at this level of a permanent underclass, it is a system of exploitation, whereas all the money from their neighborhoods flow into his pockets.
Mm.
Now, niggas didn't stay dumb forever. They band together, and they created institutions, and they created businesses, and they created stores, and they really started to become successful.
Okay.
Well, when this happened, the poor white trash got jealous.
All right.
That nigga got a piano.
Piano.
I don't have a piano. You can't even play a piano. That's not the point.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's time to destroy the black businesses because the black businesses did not have any type of military power. They had no way to protect what they had.
Okay.
Therefore, they could be reduced to a state of servitude at any moment because they had nothing to protect.
Right.
Now, the violence is completely, although there are pockets of resistance and people are fighting back, the violence is largely one-sided. because the people that are fighting back are always in the people that are hitting back against the oppression are always in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them survive, but a lot of them get lynched, murdered, imprisoned, wiped out.
Mm.
Okay? So when this happens, such as Rosewood,
right.
Such as Tulsa, Black Wall Street.
Right.
The interesting part is that these businesses had something called insurance.
Okay.
This newfound thing called insurance, which was supposed to pay for any damages that they incurred to their property as a result of loss. And so in exchange for this promise, they paid something called the insurance company premium. Well, when these things happened and when these white people descended and created all this chaos on black people and they tried to get the insurance companies to pay so that they could be rebuilt, and I want people to stay with me. I want people to understand what I'm saying. Because
okay.
People say, oh, you're talking about the insurance company. What does that have to do? I'm going to explain to you if you just hang with me just a minute. The insurance companies would not cover the damages. It left those black communities high and dry without a way to rebuild.
Mm.
Those people that could rebuild, the municipalities or the cities that they live would step in with ordinance violations and nuisance laws and these kinds of eminent domain statutes or ordinances where they would take the property from the people who ran these businesses.
Mm, damn, okay.
Okay, so then that left these people without any economic power. And it's, see, people love to point to and say, well, black people had businesses. Yes, we did, but what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
And they all talk about the white mob violence, but they don't talk about the quiet violence of the insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
the collaboration between the bank. And insurance companies, it's a banking scheme. Insurance is a banking scheme, pure mm-hmm. banking scheme.
Okay.
So they don't make the connection between the mob violence, the banking schemes of the insurance companies, and the governmental power of the local cities and municipalities. All of them colluding together to rob people of their businesses, of their welfare, and their properties.
Mm.
This is left out.
Okay.
So as we roll into the modern era, which is the 50s and 60s, which is another era of upheaval, there are riots. Now, there are black businesses. But this time, here's what the insurance companies do. The insurance companies for the black businesses charge and do something called redlining, which means anybody that lives in a certain area code, they know the racial composition and makeup of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they know who they are. So they make those people pay more for insurance premiums than any other business located anyplace else. So now these people have to charge higher goods for their services. So they can't compete with someone way out. They can't compete a lot of times with these other immigrants that are now coming in to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And these immigrants are coming in because they have various Head Start programs, because what they really are exiles from these countries where our government is either has vast economic interests, period. There's nothing else. This country has vast economic interests in these foreign countries, and they're getting rid of the leaders that they don't like, and the people that don't like the leader that they're getting rid of, they allow these people asylum and residence in the United States. In exchange for this, these people have the opportunity of businesses, have the opportunity to get capital and resources for businesses that people have been living here all their lives don't get. But you see them here, but you don't understand why they're here. They're here because there's some economic interest in their home country, or their country has been so fucked up by colonialism and imperialism that the economy of their country is in the trash.
Mm.
So they're either here as exiles from a country that we have some type of economic interest in that we're trying to control, or they're here because we fucked up their country in the first place economically.
Mm.
Okay. So now you got these people in the hood with these businesses that have, in a sense, been given a head start. In one of Martin Luther King's speeches, he talks about this. But these people are, in a sense, given a head start.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are not here are not getting, in other words, they're getting higher rates of doing business. The cost for them to do business is exponentially greater than people that are coming from elsewhere. So this drives them out of business.
Okay.
So if they have to charge more for their services, you know what? We want the hookup. So
mm-hmm.
we ain't going to fuck with you. We want the hookup. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're going to see the Jewish cat, or we're going to see Habib.
Mm-hmm.
See? So this, again, creates this vast poverty in the community. Now, of course, you have all the other causes like police brutality. You have unemployment. You have all these other things, a crumbling school system. And then what happens is these things are always sparked by what? Police brutality, police
mm-hmm.
violence.
Right.
Well, because they don't own anything or own very little, the emotional aspect of the trauma overwhelms them.
You're talking about black people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The trauma of the oppression overwhelms them. And so what happens is they just go out there and they call themselves striking back at the conditions that are, but they never wind up doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They wind up destroying their own redlined communities.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you have a home in the black, the property value is lower,
mm-hmm.
the insurance rates are higher, the mortgage is higher, but the property value, the property is already underwater. See, we've always had a subprime mortgage crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been here. When they created the VHA, or the FHA, the Federal Housing Authority, one of the things that created the ghetto and the suburb were these things called, and the federal government would back these mortgages, by the way, that these banks had out or were giving to various homeowners in the suburbs. And they had what's called restrictive deeds. One thing that made a mortgage a good mortgage or a good investment was whether or not it had these restrictive deeds. Well, the restrictive deeds kept out undesirables.
Mm-hmm.
Asians. Initially Jews, but that changed real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, blacks.
Right.
And it is this practice that creates or cements the economic exploitation of the hood and creates this vast suburban society for white people.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are living in this society are owning and controlling the businesses in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So when these riots spark up, you know they're hitting the places that white people own.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only place that black people can go
right.
shop for goods and services.
Right.
So now, if black people are not going to go out of their neighborhood because it's going to cost them more to go out of their neighborhood or damn near the same price to go out of their neighborhood to get a cheaper price than if it would if they just bought the high-priced shit.
Right.
So they will subsidize the Jewish stores. They will subsidize Habib. They will subsidize the East Indians. They will subsidize the Arabs. They will subsidize the Eastern European immigrants. They will subsidize the Turks. But when the riots come, they tear up the stores in their own. And people say, well, that's not their stores. You're true. That's true. You're correct. That's not their stores in title.
Right.
It is their stores by default.
Okay.
And people say, well, what does that mean? If you live in an apartment or condominium, the property that that condominium sits on is not yours. Or that property that that apartment sits on is not yours. But by virtue of you using your money to dwell there, that creates a possessory interest.
Okay.
That's why if someone has to put you out of a residential property, they got to get a judgment. They can't just come and padlock your shit.
All right.
If you're spending your money somewhere, you obtain a possessory interest in the place that you spend your money.
Mm.
Now, there was a clip from Do the Right Thing, and I hope you put this in.
Okay.
Plug it out.
I will.
Plug it out.
I'll find it.
Child, I don't have no brothers on the wall. He said, when you get your own shit, you can put as many brothers, cousins, nieces, and nephews as you want to.
Right.
He said, but right now, it's Italians only. He said, I don't see no Italians eating here. I see only black folks. Now, so that means we do have some say. Mm. Now, I disagreed with bugging out. Because if you want to boycott, get your own shit. If you want to see black faces, I agreed with Sal. Get your shit and you can have whoever you want in your shop.
Right.
But bugging out had a point. Bugging out was saying, even though I disagree with it, bugging out was saying, look, it is black money. Why ain't you in an Italian? You can't compete with the other Italian pizzerias. And they even said it in the movie. He said, why don't we have one in our neighborhood? That's what one of Sal's sons said. He said, well, because there are too many pizzerias in our neighborhood.
Right.
So the only place he could compete was in the hood. Well, the marketplace says, economics says, whatever is good for the bottom line, you must do that. Mm. So if encouraging positive images of your customers is good for your bottom line, you do that.
All right.
But Sal wasn't functioning according to the market. Sal did what the fuck he wanted to do, and they were still coming in there.
Right.
Even though there were no brothers on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So, when the riot and that thing happened, how did the riot? They kill Ray O'Rahim.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the first place they went after was Sal.
Yeah.
Why? Because Sal was there. In their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, my point is that anytime you hit back or anytime you destroy the institutions in your own neighborhood, you're not doing yourself any favors. Because one, what's going to happen, the police will come. They'll let you tear up as much shit as you want to tear up for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
After you do that, they roll you up, take you to jail, and now this shit has to be cleaned up. Now, who is going to pay for all this damage to your neighborhood? Where do you think all the money's going to come from to pay for your riot?
The taxpayer.
And who are the taxpayers in that neighborhood?
It's them niggas.
The same niggas that tore it up.
Right.
And so it's a continued, Malcolm X said, anytime we come up with a solution, it's just another trap. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So when they tear up this shit, the insurance companies and the banks turn around and make them pay for the shit they tear up with interest. Further bleed the community, further deteriorate the property values, which is going to cause all businesses that would keep the property value on par to flee.
Okay.
So your community is going to go down, it's going to become a hood. Some people say, well, I already know that. Well, if you already know that, why are we still rioting in the 21st century?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fucking retard.
Yeah, if you know the shit don't work, why you keep doing it?
Why you keep doing it?
Right.
Now, there was an ex-FBI agent. The man wrote a book. His name is Dr. Tyrone Powers. It's called Eyes to My Soul.
Right.
He was on Tony Brown's Journal, and he talked about this sort of thing. And he said a behavioral studies report came across his desk, and it did a profile of blacks. And here's what it said. It says that blacks are an emotional people.
Mm.
They are an emotional people, not an analytical or intelligent people.
Right.
This is the behavioral sciences unit.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then they said, well, in times of heightened hysteria or anxiety like this, he said, do not stop their marches. Do not stop their protests. Because in the end, their movements will come to no logical conclusion.
All right.
What they're saying in essence is, okay, these niggas going to get mad. They're going to kick up dust. But there's no need for police brutality. There's no need for any of this shit. Because they're just going to eventually go away. And yeah. Nothing's going to become of any of this. So now here we are in the 21st century.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, now give the name of that dude again.
Dr. Tyrone Powers.
Dr. Tyrone Powers, and he was who?
He was an FBI agent.
FBI.
He was a former FBI. He is now a professor of counterterrorism and homeland security at, I think it is, Anne Arundel College in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow. Okay. And that comes out of what book?
That came out of an interview that he had with Tony Brown.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tony Brown's journal.
Okay, I got you. All right. Yeah, just want folks to go ahead and get some intel on that, just in case they want to look it up and you know, basically see that, you know, this ain't shits and giggles, this is real.
that's real.
Okay.
And so what happened was, in these instances, they got hip. White people got hip to, and the power structure got hip to these riots.
Okay.
Because after the 60s, when Martin Luther King died, you had the riots of 65, of course, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the power structure got hip to these things, and they came out with something called the Kerner Report.
All right.
Named after Otto Kerner. It was the Kerner Commission. And they said two societies are developing, one black, one white, separate and unequal. And they said that in order to bring black people into the mainstream where they would enjoy the privileges as whites, that America would have to be willing to be taxed. Mm. Now, you know white folks are not going to tax themselves.
Right.
So that niggas could be bought into. You think that's going to happen? Of course not.
It's not
going to happen. In other words, everybody's taxes have to be increased to create an infrastructure. So that black people would have businesses and black, you know, then that's not going to work. Ain't nobody going to have their taxes raised just to build up shit for you. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So what they did was they started these little token integration programs. They had blacks on TV and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so what came out of this was the playbook that Dr. Powers was talking about. Certain things you say when you go on the air. Stop, and he was even in the middle of stop calling them Negroes.
Ooh, okay.
Stop calling them Negroes. Start calling them Afro or African Americans. Stop calling them niggas.
All right.
Stop calling them the derogatory names, you know, Stymies, you know, Boscos, and stop calling them that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
In times of police activity, let them march. Do not attempt to stop their marches. Do not attempt to stop their rallies. Let them march. The second part of the plan was they would put these people that were respectable in the community on their payrolls, and they would have these behind the door meetings. A lot of stuff takes place behind closed doors.
Right.
And so these people were usually who they were the preachers.
Imagine that.
The preachers or the educators or other people, and they would send these people and set these people up. And what these people's job was essentially to do was to control the rebellion.
Right.
Now, this came out in a book called Eyes and Ears of the State by Jim Redden. The snitch culture in America, Eyes and Ears of the State, where they had these ghetto informant programs. This was concurrent with COINTELPRO. People don't mention the ghetto informant program. Nor do they mention Operation Chaos. But basically, these people inform the government on the moves of what are people thinking?
Right.
What are people talking about? What are the trends that are going on? And these types of things keep surveillance so that when some shit jumps off, they can contain the violence and then dissipate it after a while. So in other words, what they're doing is they're creating a situation to where the violence occurs only in one area. And then after the violence occurs in one area, they scatter everyone, and then everything goes back to the way it was. And then the banks bleed the people to fix the shit that they tore up. And the economic exploitation continues, and continues to their grandchildren's children will be paying for this shit.
Man, that, you know, that's like stealth punishment, because like cats ain't even aware that that's happening. You know what I'm saying?
No, they don't know that.
Right.
So in the meantime, now the police keep up their tactics, they come up with these various SWAT teams, which in Los Angeles, they developed the SWAT team to deal with the Los Angeles chapter of the Black Panther Party.
Right.
And so they come up with these SWAT teams, so they test out these new military-like maneuvers on these people that are rioting. So the people that are watching this shit on TV are saying, you know, the white people that are terrified are saying, well, you know, fuck it, do whatever you got to do to calm them down.
Right.
Because they're savages in that state. You do whatever you got to do to calm them down. Now, that in itself is a form of bigotry. Let's say that.
Right.
But the way they're playing it is, these are savages. So the maneuvers of SWAT and all these other predominantly white police Gestapo-like tactics are acceptable because you're calming down animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because basically when the whole Ferguson shit jumped off, you know, it was easy to see, you know, from my perspective, due to the fact that I read books, that this was nothing but a beta test. You know what I mean? Because basically the whole United States fought the police force become militarized. And I'm like, well, this ain't nothing but a beta test to basically, you know, test out their new toys. That's all that is.
And for all the people that want to send the coon train for me. Guess who made that exact same statement that you just made?
I don't know.
Dr. Huey Percy Newton.
Oh, for real?
Yes. Oh. He said that rioting is not no hip thing. He said because it doesn't give the police anything but an opportunity to test out their vast form of violence and brutality on black people. Yes.
Oh, okay. I
didn't
know that.
The most militant organization in the United States, the most militant black organization of all time, was against rioting.
Damn, that's heavy. Okay, I got you.
So before you send the cool train for me, do your homework.
Word.
The Panthers were not in favor of rioting. In fact, during the riots when King was killed, they said Oakland was one of the quietest places. Why? Because the Black Panthers kept order and told people not to riot.
Damn.
Huey Newton issued an order from jail that there were to be no riots in the streets.
Mm.
Now, the only violent altercation that took place on the streets of, I think it was East or West Oakland, one of them, was something that was provoked by Eldridge Cleaver. It was provoked by Eldridge Cleaver.
All right.
Huey told everybody to stay cool. Eldridge countermanded the order. And that's how Bobby Hutton got killed.
All right.
They left that out of history, too. People don't want to deal with that because it doesn't fit the image of militancy.
Okay.
But the Black Panthers were not in favor of rioting.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because nothing good comes out of rioting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good comes, not in its present form.
Right.
Now, when in his early writings, Huey Newton talked about, during these periods, he talked about a kind of organized violence. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where a small group of people deal with, and as they used to say, hold court up in the streets and serve justice to these racist policemen.
Okay.
And slip off without any type of repercussions.
Right.
Okay. Mookie!
So you know I'm still
what?
How come you got no brothers up on the wall?
Man, ask Sal, right?
Hey, Sal, how come you got no brothers up on the wall here?
You want brothers on the wall? Get your own place. You can do what you want to do. You can put your brothers and uncles and nieces and nephews, your stepfather, stepmother, whoever you want, see? But this is my pizzeria. American Italians on the wall only.
Take it easy, man.
Huh? And you, hey, don't stop me.
Yeah, that might be fine, Sal, but you own this. Rarely do I see any American Italians eating in here. All I see is black folks. So since we spend much money here, we do have some say.
You looking for trouble?
Are you a troublemaker? Is that what you are? You making trouble?
Yeah, I'm a troublemaker. I'm making trouble.
You're a real ball breaker. Who's coming in here looking for trouble, huh? Suppose I busted your head. How would you...
why it isn't.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, what you're going to do as far as getting even with the power structure. You're going to take a shotgun and use a buckshot approach, or you're going to take a laser type approach, you know, and be more accurate with your assessment of who's actually causing the problem. And these niggas is using the buckshot approach, just firing, hoping to hit something. You feel me?
Yes. Shit.
And it's like, you know, I try and tell niggas, I'm like, look at history itself and tell me, when has a riot actually done something for you and produced good fruit? It hasn't. Y'all motherfuckers still living in squalor, and you still don't have nothing. You still don't produce nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then you hit me with, because I wasn't aware of, you know, how far reaching the banks and the taxes and stuff would actually exact revenge on them niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of missed that part.
Okay. Right. Let's fast forward. Now, this is the passes.
Right.
Anybody can look this up. Go get Huey Newton's To Die for the People. See, I'm going to reference everything I say.
Okay.
Go get Huey Newton's books, To Die for the People. Go get Revolutionary Suicide.
Mm.
And read those essays and see what Huey Newton says about rioting.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now we fast forward to 1992, the Rodney King riots.
Right.
Once again, they tore up their own shit. No, it wasn't blown us. That's true. Not entitled.
Mm.
But by default, it is yours. Because you're going to shop there.
Mm-hmm. You get employed there.
You get employed. If you get employed.
Yeah, if you get employed.
They'll put a couple of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put a couple, because that's a slick way of being able to, you know, for them to be able to protect their interests.
Right.
But your patronage is what keeps these businesses alive. So when you knock out these, now you have to go way out.
Mm-hmm.
That means more instances of DWB. That means more instances of police retaliation. Police harassment and police abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Police violence and terrorism. So guess what? It's cheaper just to stay in my own neighborhood. You mean the place that I just tore up? Yes, nigga, the place you just tore up.
Man.
And they reinforce this. Again, we'll go to another movie. If you can find this clip, you can use this one. Mississippi Burning.
Oh, okay.
There was a scene in Mississippi Burning where the black people were tearing up their own shit.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then the FBI guy came there and he said, it's a local problem. He said, just some niggas tearing up their own neighborhood. We can handle it.
Right.
And they weren't doing nothing to stop these niggas from tearing up their shit.
Right.
They just blocked the area off with the police cars.
Mm-mm-mm.
And what happened in Los Angeles? They blocked the areas off.
Mm-hmm.
Police cars.
And then you would think black folks would have the intelligence to say, wait a minute, every time this shit happens, they just let us do it.
Yeah.
They just block off the area. They, you know, there's basically a line where they're not allowed to cross. They're not allowed to go into the predominantly white areas and do it. You know what I mean? They keep their ass right in their neighborhood. And black people don't have the intelligence to say, why are they letting me do this? This can't be good if they let me do it. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go back to Dr. Tyrone Powers. What did he say?
Black people are emotional.
This will end in no logical
conclusion. Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, you have to take a hard look at that. You have to learn to take a hard look at yourself and assess your flaws and assess your strengths.
Right.
Things that are favorable about you, your limitations, your capabilities. You have to assess all of those things about yourself. Is there any truth to it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is some truth to it.
Mm.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, in every stereotype, there's some core truth.
Right.
Core truth. I didn't say the whole thing was true. I said there's some core truth. The question is, what is the core truth and why are these things true? So don't just go and say, well, nigga Fuchs, Tony Dreamer said stereotypes are true. Didn't say that.
Right.
Didn't say that. Mm. Reading, writing, and listening is fundamental.
Reading, what's reading? What that is.
Yeah. So now we come to Ferguson.
Mm.
What happened? They tore up their own shit.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? It's dispersed. After you done tore up your own shit,
mm-hmm.
Now it's dispersed. Now everything is getting back to normal. Don't get me wrong. MSNBC, I'm sorry, MSDNC, the Democratic National Channel.
Right.
It's the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like Al Sharpton, too. But fuck it. Call it what it is. I like the way Michael Dyson argues, and I like when he bosses a rhyme. But it's the MSDNC.
Right.
I ain't got nothing against Melissa Harris Perry. But it's the MSDNC. It's the propaganda wing of the Democratic National Committee.
Mm.
That's all it is. Just as much as Fox is the propaganda arm of the Republican Party and the hard right, MSDNC is the propaganda arm of the Democratic National Party.
Right.
Period.
Mm-mm-mm. Shoot.
So, what happened? What happened? What will come out of it? Then you have some niggas that say, strategize, create a foundation. Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you just made a way for somebody to create a 501c, a 501 or 503c corporation to get paid out of a nonprofit and probably steal the motherfucking money.
It's corrupt all the way from the bottom to the top, man.
This is what happens.
Right.
These are the things that happen. And every time these riots happen, it was a term that they used during the 60s and 70s. It was called poverty pimps.
Right.
That was another thing that would come out of these riots. These 50, these nonprofits would jump 501c's or 501c3's or whatever. I forget the name of them. But the nonprofits would jump up. And they would be funded so many millions, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And they put some black faces in there, and the niggas would come up on that money. And they'd have a smooth ride for about 4 or 5 years. Mm. And then the government cut the funds. Mm.
Shit. Well, dig, man, some people say that it's necessary that you do riot because it gets a lot of publicity and it lets the world know what's going on. So we have to riot. What do you think about that?
Does the riots change the conditions?
Nope.
Does the world's knowledge change the conditions?
Nope.
Does the world's eyes change police brutality?
Nope.
Does the world's eyes change economic inequality?
I've been checking. It don't look like it's budging, man.
Does the world's eyes change the agenda of the banks?
Damn sure don't change the agenda of the banks.
The world's eyes don't change shit. It's the world's actions.
Right.
That change things. I can sit there and look at some shit off. I can sit here and look out my window and see a motherfucker get his ass beat.
Mm.
If I'm just sitting here watching him get his ass beat, he's getting his ass beat.
Mm.
Now, did I call the police? No, I just sat there and watched him get his ass beat. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
But I'm looking. My eyes is on the situation, but I ain't stopping shit. I ain't making no action to do anything.
Well, I guess what they will be trying to say is before you can even begin to solve the problem, you have to be aware of the problem. So that's why the eyes of the world must be on the problem for anyone to even take one foot or take one step towards solving the problem for actions.
The eyes of the world.
Uh-huh.
The eyes of the world was on the L.A. riots.
Right.
And the same conditions exist in Los Angeles as existed over 25 years ago.
And even worse.
And even worse.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The eyes of the world are on Ferguson. But what legislation is going to come out of the world's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
You see, because when Malcolm X said he wanted to take the problem of 22 million black people to the United Nations, it was a propaganda move.
Right.
He wanted the eyes of the world on the United States. Because if the eyes of the world were on the United States and the United States were condemned for their acts, or was condemned for their acts, that would give, you know, black people the standing to move and accept international help to solve the problem.
Right.
He knew that nothing sweeping would come out of the world's sympathy alone.
Mm-hmm.
See, people don't do shit when they cry. Mm-hmm. People don't do shit when they're sad. You just cry. But when you're mad,
mm-hmm.
you do something.
Okay.
When Martin Luther King got the eyes of the world through the marching and the violence of Bull Connor, he was able to push the courts. See, that's what people miss. It wasn't just them marching. They attacked Jim Crow and legislation through the courts.
Okay.
And what they couldn't attack through the courts, whatever they could get Kennedy to do, and that he didn't do a whole lot. But he was probably one of the most liberal ones, but he didn't do a whole lot. But they were able to exert pressure, economic pressure, political pressure, and social pressure. So when he got the eyes of the world, he didn't just get the eyes of the world, he got the eyes of the world, and he got the action of the courts, and he got the action of the legislative and executive branches.
Okay.
So the eyes of the world don't mean shit. That's my point.
All right.
Mm-mm-mm. I feel so sorry for you. They shot you.
Mm-mm-mm.
They shot you.
Mm.
And then you know what comes out of that? A song.
Mm.
A song. The niggas bring teddy bears, balloons, and flowers to the site where you got killed.
Right.
But nothing comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. Shit. Yeah, imagine a world where, you know, somebody would get unjustly killed or murdered or whatever by an authority figure, and black folks wouldn't riot, you know. Oh, because basically, in an ideal world, black folks are supposed to be in the economics. They're supposed to be into the political system. They're supposed to, you know and understand about the whole concept of lobbying with their, you know, their political constituents and whatnot. And they wouldn't have to riot. They would get
because you know what? Lobby requires money.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Lobby requires money,
right.
And money requires niggas to work together.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
incumbent upon the power structure to give black folks, it's like a Jedi mind trick. You know, it's like they kind of enforce the whole rioting paradigm with black folks, make them think that they actually doing something slick when they do it. You know what I'm saying? You ever get that feeling where they kind of
subliminally get your opposition to make a move that you want them to make all along?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of doing some real shit, you know what I mean? Like I said, with money, politics, education, lobbying, businesses, you know, which is what white folks do.
It worked in the slave rebellions. Why? Because the slave can get at the master.
Right.
But now, getting at the master is a parlor game.
Mm.
It's three-card Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think you're getting at him through your local convenience store.
Man, that is just the funniest shit, man. I still can't believe niggas is endorsing this shit. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
You're getting at that. That's not the master. That's the master's ally. That's a bee.
Mm-hmm.
Habib, no, that's Habib. Habib selling the chicken wings, the malt liquor, and the loose cigarettes.
Right.
It, again, I love this analogy. It's like the Gargon, the Hydra. Cut off a head, two more chop off. So you knock out Habib's store, you knock out anybody else's store, they, including the black stores, too.
Exactly.
They tear up their own shit, even if it's owned by a black person, because you know we got a lot of self-loathing and self-hatred.
Right.
And then we'll try to paint the riot with some type of political flavoring. The causes are political, but the response is political, but the response isn't organized. The response isn't a solution. It's just a response. We've been rioting. It was somewhat effective during the days of slavery. But again, times have changed. Strategies have changed. Methods have changed. And if Huey Newton can say rioting is no good, Huey Newton didn't advise rioting.
Right.
This is the man. He's saying rioting is no good.
Man. Anyone
man that got out in the streets and faced down cops with a shotgun says rioting is no good.
And once again, so, go ahead.
Oh,
nothing. Just telling these niggas, man, hey, despise. Oh, there's no such thing as something that's free, my nigga, because somehow, some way, through this riot, nigga, you going to pay.
Yeah.
Nigga, you going to pay for it. So don't think you doing something slick. You know, well, maybe they think they're getting away with it because in order to actually pay taxes, you actually got to have a job. And most of them niggas ain't got no job.
Well, okay, even if you don't have no job, you still need food.
Where you gonna eat? Shit, we just gonna go to the next county. We gonna spend our money there. But like you said,
if you don't have a car, you gotta have. If you don't have jobs, you gotta have transportation, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that means it's gonna cost you to go over to the next county, right?
It's gonna cost them.
And let's be realistic. If you ain't got much money, how many trips you gonna make over to the next county?
Shit. Yeah. How much in gas and goddamn shit?
We get on the bus. Okay. No, nigga, gonna hop on no bus and ride three damn hours to get no groceries.
So you may
gonna happen.
So you may as well just set your bitch ass down in your goddamn hut and left Habib alone. Shit.
Leave Habib alone. See, because in the final analysis, Habib is not your problem.
Habib
is simply a symptom of the problem.
Right.
Because if you want to fix the problem, if they really wanted to do something, boycott. And I'm not talking about out there with signs walking up and down the streets. No. You withdraw your money from these places and put them in local community businesses and institutions ran by people in the community. And stop looking for the goddamn hookup. Put your money in your community with people that live in your community. Create an economic base in your community. When you create an economic base, you're going to create a political base. When you create a political base, you can't stop there. You got to create a military base.
Right.
You may not necessarily have a militia, but you're going to have to be able to find a way to defend the institutions in your community. Now, if the Deacons of Defense could do it, they're the only successful armed group to never be murdered and sent to prison.
Okay.
They were successful where the Panthers were not.
I've never heard of them. The Deacons of Defense?
Deacons for Defense.
Ah, I never heard of them.
The Deacons for Defense. They were a group not in the North. See, people like to think that all the militancy in the black movement came up now.
Okay.
No. The Deacons for Defense were based in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and they did protect themselves against the violence of the Klan, and not one of them went to prison.
Okay.
Not one of them lost their lives to some random violence.
Right.
Why? Because they organized and they locked the Klan out of their neighborhood.
Okay.
People don't know about the Deacons for Defense. Robert Franklin Williams in North Carolina. He had the Black Guard. And when they came to shoot out in his neighborhood, he had organized the people in that neighborhood and they had a firefight with the Klan and the Klan left there running. Now, he was so bad, they had to frame him and send him out the country, but of course they wound up bringing him back later, and they dropped it. Robert Kennedy dropped the charges against him.
Okay.
Was it Robert Kennedy? Robert Kennedy, or someone, he came back in 69, I think it was, and they dropped the charges.
Okay.
You know, he survived.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I'm saying here is, he's trying to stop tearing up your own shit.
Amen, nigga Fuchsius.
Long story short,
tearing
up your own shit is no political act. It may be a display of brazen courage, but it's a nigga victory.
Right.
And we gotta stop settling for nigga victories. What is a nigga victory?
Mm.
A nigga victory is akin to the old term Pyrrhic victory.
Okay.
That's where you lose much more than what you gain.
Right.
We have to stop settling. Riots are nigga victories.
Obviously. God damn. Well, check this out. Man, I appreciate your wisdom, nigga Fuchsius. I was wrestling with this issue, man, because I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just me, nigga. Maybe it's just me.
No, it's not. A lot of people feel that way. But to say that, see, people want to be spontaneous militants.
Right.
They want to be spontaneous radicals. You see what I'm saying? It's easy to get mad and blow off some anger at the moment. But what happens when that shit is over?
Right.
We're going to think about it. Well, you better think about it.
Right.
Because what's happening here is, these types of things, they create a situation and maneuver it to their benefit where they keep your community impoverished 5 and 6 generations after you in the dirt.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this type of trap is what caused the riots in the first place. These types of machinations are what create the conditions where you want to tear up your own shit. So, why would you keep it? If I see 10 damn people walk up to a cliff and jump off, I'd be damned if I'm the 11th one.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I will be damned if I go down the same path, but that's what they do. And I think a part of that also, I will say this. I will give us a reprieve in this area. We have not been allowed, for the most part, to create effective organizations that are run by our money.
Mm-hmm.
And because the power structure is so interested in keeping people fragmented, keeping people fragmented and broken, keeping people fragmented, broken, and apart, till they corrupt and usurp any good leadership for the black community. And because in a lot of instances we aid them because of our fear.
Right.
There was no way, and I will say this, I said this before and I'll say it again. How can somebody walk into the Audubon Ballroom and walk out with Malcolm X's life?
Right.
How does that happen?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? How does somebody shoot Fred Hampton and shoot Bunchy Carter and live to tell about it? How does that happen? How does someone come in and kill these local community leaders and they escape with no punishment? How does that happen?
Right.
But it happens consistently. Why is it that Paul Robeson or Marcus Garvey are so easily put out the country? Or pushed into exile, or they become reclusive in the late years of their life. They become how do these things happen? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it is also, when people look at this, why haven't we come up with some way to stop this and create thriving organizations funded by our own dollar? And I go back to Dr. Tyrone Powers. Dr. Powers said, in an interview, and it's on YouTube, he said, you cannot effectively counter what you do not understand.
Mm. Yeah.
You cannot counter what you do not understand. Stand.
Caveman.
You better hush.
brother to the east, my 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 brother to the east.
Yes, I'm that kind of nigga. The one you fear, be scared, you can't figure. The one that has the finger on the trigger, boom. In the cut, zoom. In the darkness, the halo, the moon. Step into your real soon. Ah, check the blackness. Me before those acted the lightness. Masturbating, masquerading, and you'll call yourself righteous. Follow me, a peripheral missionary and arch witness. Having intercourse with a nation of darkness. Books with worms, Jerry's with last names like Perms. Niggas, get your hands off your crash, come to terms with yourself. If you don't get any bigger, pink caddy driving black boots stomping. Yes, I'm that kind of nigga. Brother J, what you say? Brother J, what you say? Brother J, what you say? Brother J, what you say?
Yeah, I'm just a pro black nigga and I'm doing this. And you just watch me clock me to see if I continue this. In the ways of the caddy, I survive like a pimp. No jerry curls, wave perms or crimps. The ever nappy's gonna set in the mood. I'll raise my fuel for my firm attitude. Walking through the streets with my war cry spear. Certain folks know what means doom when they hear my firm black boots and no spurs attached. But let me give a second, cause I might detach ya. My black boots, if you confuse, I lose my pupils in the words you choose. For right or what's wrong, or man, what you think? Except my black, so how the hell you just pink? The front page says outrage. There's no gauge, cause it's time for the Mac. Tune in your radio, video, stereo, and all that to the vibes of the pro black. It's like that as I wind up my wrist. Check out the smack of the scientific fist. Born on level to the east, I flow. Cause of freedom or death, there's no choice, you know. Still on the topic of the PRO. I wanna pass the verb stick to brother PXO.
Over and under as I progress to this. Got no time to be hanging out with humanists. Raise a flag, five the tag, the hand, clutch the fist. Serving nationally comes the diss. Humanity keepers witness, we bread eaters. Milwaukee, the brutality, how can you dismiss? So, off to the road we go, you know. Follow the pro nigga flow. Off to the road, you know we go. Follow the pro nigga flow. For you and yours, legislation. Past purpose agitation. By way of the old order emancipation. Zoom, 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 revelation. Cometh pro black dedication. The solution, revolution, evolution. The conclusion, the trigger. Please elect, but take a swigger. And if you don't get any bigger, yes. I'm that kind
of revolution, evolution, the solution. No amendments and burn the constitution. You check the authors, a bunch of old wiggers who strategize extension of the poor black niggas. Know why? Cause I'm that nigga that they can't stand. They teach an African how to say black man. I remember green suits on a black mayor. I remember 9mm child slayers. I remember all the times that you call me an animal. But in Milwaukee there's a cannibal. Check it, some of the things that you just don't figure. Cause it gets a lot blacker and a whole lot bigger. No matter nice, thick, or bring your brick trigger, our nation is protected by some pro-black niggas.
Making note of some minors, I'm not talking baseball, because if I was, Brother J, we'd be playing professional. There are 9 innings to a baseball game. By the way, is it humanity or is it vanity? Vainglorious, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green. With a key on the road again, city. And you don't stop.
Free socks.
D-energizers.
D, motherfucker, D. Learn to speak English first, all right? D.
How many you say?
20, motherfucker, 20.
What the fuck are you? Fuck you.
Maxi. You cannot counter
what you do not understand.
And black folks not understanding the plan.
Not understanding the tactics, because they were asking him, he was like, well, how can you do this? How can you just turn these people into agents and snitches? Mm-hmm. He said, you don't understand. He said, I have massive resources to make a mother inform on her own child.
Mm-mm-mm.
I can turn a mother against her own child. Now, how does that work? If a man comes to a mother's house and says, well, your child is mixed up with all these people and blah, 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 and he's going to wind up going to jail and get killed, but there's a way out of this.
Mm.
You got to work with me. That woman will inform on her own child.
Mm-hmm.
Because she thinks she's helping him.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can't effectively counter what you don't understand. Why are we rioting? Why do these things happen? Well, we know why they happen, but why don't we understand them? Why is it that we keep wanting to tear up our own shit and the problem is still here?
Mm-hmm.
What is it we're missing? The motherfuckers that do the killing still walking around in broad daylight.
Right.
Now, the neighborhood is fucked up.
Right.
And the other niggas are dead, but the motherfucker that caused the shit is still living.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? How? How can somebody that shoots children still be living, but the neighborhood that the child comes from is in disarray?
Lack of critical thinking skills, my man.
You know? Right. So, if I got to go on the coon train, I sit in the front seat.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm peeping. It's like, I'm thinking, is most of these niggas that's co-signing with this blatant niggatry at the riot, are they scared?
Yeah, the right nigga riotry.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, are they just basically scared of going against popular opinion because most niggas is automatically co-signing with the fuckery of, yeah, burn your own shit down. Fuck it.
Well, because people are all, again, that's that spontaneous armchair militancy.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be, it allows them a chance to be rebels.
Okay.
Without engaging in any rebellion.
Okay.
It allows them to be a rebel without a rebellion, and it makes them look cool.
Okay.
And the problem in the black community is we're much more concerned a lot of times about form than we are about substance.
Right.
We're concerned much more about looking a particular way than achieving tangible results, because when you achieve tangible results all the time, you don't necessarily look good. You have to make sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make painful sacrifices.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And sometimes we're not ready to make those kinds of sacrifices, so we got to take nigga victories.
Mm-mm-mm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's popular to be for the riot. It's popular to say, yeah, yeah, we ain't taking this shit no more. Let's burn down the store. See, that's popular.
Right.
That's popular. To say that is popular.
Mm-hmm.
But to think and say, well, no, we need to look at this and do this another way. Oh, nigga, you're just scared. You just say it, nigga. You're just scared. and you know, you're just scared, you know.
Man, yeah, boy, these motherfuckers be killing me, man. I'm like, did you think this shit through, nigga? I mean, seriously, did you think this? Oh, nigga, yeah, that's right. You just scared. I'm like, all right, man, okay.
You just scared to fight white supremacy. You just scared to fight rape. No.
Man, I'm like, nigga, come on, man, read a book. Come on, man, here.
Even if you're fighting, let's say, it's to fight white supremacy.
Right.
White supremacy and racism is a system.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fight back individually against an organized machine.
Right.
That's Huey Newton, too.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's Huey Newton, too.
Okay.
You cannot fight back individually against an organized machine.
Mm-mm-mm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So, no, I'm not for rioting. Rioting is the most counterproductive, niggerific destructive, self-destructive, impotent thing you can do. I said it.
Word life.
It is the most ridiculous, self-defeating thing you could be doing in the 21st century. In the 21st century. Not in the 18th, not in the 19th, not in the 20th, but it is the worst shit that you should be doing in the 21st century. If you're going to do something, create your own independent infrastructure, protect that infrastructure, and organize among yourself and start righting some of these wrongs. Because when people know that they're going to suffer a consequence by fucking with you, they'll start going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So taking, going down there to a riot and warn people, you know, they just want to be, you know, we take these shrines of impotence.
Okay.
You just want to go to the scene of the action, the scene of the riot, you know, to condone it and say, we part, you're not part of anything. You're part of an exercise in impotence, an exercise in futility. Riots are not productive. Riots are worse than marching.
Mm-mm-mm.
And you know, niggas love to march.
Like chicken.
Riots like chicken. Are worse than marching.
Right.
I'd rather march before I riot, and I don't care. Now, I'm not predisposed to marching.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I'll march before I riot. You know, oh, nigga, you just scared. You just, the revolution, what revolution? All these forces still the same in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Chief of police ain't lost his job.
Right.
Dude that shot that boy in the head ain't lost a day's pay.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he has, he's back on the force by now.
Right.
Just like here with the boy here, with the English boy.
Right.
It's the English boy.
At the Walmart?
Huh?
What the thing that happened at Walmart with the BB gun?
Well, no. This was 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
The English boy, the one that went over, that the police claimed, bust out the window, flew out the car.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that's the first story they put out.
Right.
That's the first story they put. Here's what Dr. Powles is talking about. That's the first story they put out. Then they realized that that was impossible.
Right.
They couldn't make that fit. So then what happened is they start granting access to the exclusive to only newspapers and news outlets that were going to express their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So first what they did, they put out a narrative. Then they controlled the dissemination of that narrative and who made that narrative. Then the second thing they did, of course, niggas wanted to march.
Okay.
So they showed up at the site where the boy died at, and they had all them people there marching, right?
Right.
The police showed up. You know what the police did? The police came up, and they were quiet. They blocked off the streets so the niggas could march.
Right.
And the niggas marched over the bridge into the police station. And then when they got to the police station, they got to downtown, they went home.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. And then when it was over, they said, suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of police came up and said, as far as we're concerned, this case is closed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way ever since.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then they said, well, it was suicide. But what somebody failed to understand was that if that boy was suicidal and the police knew he was suicidal and did nothing to prevent him from going over that bridge, they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But because the boy's mama went on TV and said he was suicidal. So guess who the county's best witness is going to be?
The mama.
It's the mama.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that killed any suit they had. That killed any suit they had. So, at this point, what I'm saying is this. These counterproductive activities that take place, it's time for us to change strategies.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to change tactics. Rioting is not cool.
Right.
Rioting is not cool. And any person that tells you that tearing up your own shit in the 21st century is cool is a fucking moron.
Oh, shit. It's crazy. You got to actually explain this shit to people. They actually believe that tearing up their own shit is getting back at white people.
No, it's not crazy. Because you know why?
Right.
We haven't really sat down and just really had a conversation amongst ourselves without anybody else looking. So you don't need the eyes of the world looking.
Mm-hmm.
You need to shut the doors and have a real conversation with you. No more fucking town hall meetings.
Right.
We need to have a community meetings amongst ourselves.
Mm-mm-mm.
You need to have community meetings. Fuck the news cameras, nigga. This ain't a video.
Right.
We ain't cut no video. We're not trying to be on VH1.
Mm-mm-mm.
We ain't cut no video. No cameras in this. We need to have a meeting with ourselves and discuss these issues and figure out what we're going to do about this. But rioting, tearing up your own shit, and putting your children in economic slavery and servitude for decades, that is not a viable option. Creating your own infrastructure and defending your own infrastructure and start getting these people that are causing these problems, that is a viable solution to me.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
To me, that is a viable solution. Okay. I can't speak to no other niggas in the street.
Right, right. Well, dig, man, I'm coming up on the 1 minute mark. I'm about running out of time here, man. So, once again, thank you for imparting this wisdom on me, man. Appreciate it. And, also, I got to call this female back and see what the hell she want, man. So, nigga Fucius, I thank you for coming in on MaxCity.com and going ahead doing your thing, man. Any last parting words?
Last parting words. My last parting words is this. Do not remove the kink from your hair. Remove the kink from your mind. The Right Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey.
Ah, the only name that is higher than Nigga Fucius.
You crazy.
Okay, all right, well, shit, man. Hold on right quick and don't go anywhere, all right?
All right.
All right. The microphone explodes, shatter in the mold. Need a drop of hits like they like, oh, get the fuck up the commode with the short shot. Sure to make the body drop, dropping no cameo, no call as a co-op. Terror rain stretching, quenching the thirst of the power dawn.
Full of shells. We rally round the family. Max Almighty Triple XL coming to you live on the record from MaxCity.com.
Jesus?
D, motherfucker, D. Learn to speak English first, all right? D.
How many you say?
20, motherfucker, 20.
Almost 20.
What the fuck are you? Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.